You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The devastating impacts of Cyclone Gabrielle have compounded discussions that were already underway after the intense flooding in Auckland 2 weeks earlier. One topic on the minds of many is infrastructure. Why did it fail so badly? What do we need to do to fix it? And is it time for New Zealand to change our approach to building for extreme weather? I had a chat about this with National's Shane Retty, first asking how and why these extreme weather events might indicate our approach needs to change.
So I think the learnings we can take from the recent natural events are that we need to look at how we both maintain our existing infrastructure and build new infrastructure that takes into account climate change events, particularly around where we build and how we build. I think those are the learnings that we need to take from this. There are some policies around that may or may not be directly related to climate change. For example, some of the roads may well have been climate change adapted that is suitable for most natural events, but when you have forestry slash coming down a stream, that's not taken into account. So there are some policies that will need to be looked at. But I think fundamentally the learnings here that our infrastructure, both existing and new builds, will need to take climate change more into account.
What does this mean, taking climate change into account? Is this building in different areas, a different prioritisation of what we build, or does this really just mean more investment in resilience?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of where we build. So we know that some LINZ reports will show if a building or a structure is in a area that potentially could be affected by rising sea levels. So we know that there is some mapping of that already. So it will be an effect of where we build and also how we build, whether we're building climate resilient housing and commercial properties. I think it's that combination of the two, where and how we build.
In terms of the rebuild, a lot of experts are currently estimating that our infrastructure deficit is massive, in the hundreds of millions, if not hundreds of billions, if not trillions, which is a really staggering amount of money for us. Where do we start when it comes to solving this problem?
So I think where we need to start is we need to look at what the goal is. Is our goal to be 100% climate resilient, or is it to be 99% and reluctantly accept the 1-in-100-year event that we had here, or how we can best mitigate the 1-in-100-year event? So I think there's some early policy settings around what is the goal, but then fundamentally it's going to need investment and multi-year accords across several governments, across several parties, and we're enthusiastic to collaborate towards that, but it is going to need multi-year, multi-government accords.
Although Auckland was spared the worst of the cyclone, it did intensify debates around development. Speaking of this bipartisan approach from Labor and National, some have called for a moratorium on further intensification. Do you think this is the right sort of approach?
So there are already options for councils to exclude under the housing intensification proposal, excluded areas that may be at risk of natural phenomena such as floods. So I think within the policy settings already, there is the ability to take into account events like we've just seen.
Do you think that essentially more intensification would assist with our resilience, or do you agree with some of these commentators that we need more people sort of building further away from the city where, you know, less damage has been observed in some cases?
Look, I think it's a combination. We're supportive of intensification as we've described it, with the ability to exclude areas at risk. Wider planning, as I've said, planning around where we build and what we build will need to take into account climate events.
In terms of Three Waters and National's opposition to the policy, obviously this is a debate that has been sparked up recently with the overwhelmed water infrastructure.
How could local governments possibly shoulder all of these losses and put up the huge amount needed for greater resilience?
So that's a discussion we're having as to what the alternatives are to Three Waters from a funding perspective. What we are clear is that the local assets and they need to be owned and maintained locally. How the wider Three Waters infrastructure is funded, that's what the discussion is at the moment. But we're quite clear that they're local assets owned by local people and they need to maintain that ownership.
So you mentioned earlier that there are some choices to make as to whether we want to prepare for a 99-year or 100-year event in terms of the amount of resilience that we think we need. Do you think that we have been preparing adequately for these kinds of events, even on a much smaller scale in terms of our power and our internet and cell infrastructure, and these things that often do get damaged but have extremely little resilience, being above ground and that sort of thing?
Yeah, look, I think that's what some of the modelling and simulation needs to look at. What are we building infrastructure to? At what level of resilience are we building infrastructure to? And there are simple ways that we can actually test that right now. For example, I was made aware yesterday that some of the fire stations, some of these smaller stations, when the power went out, they had power to their comms board, so they could still receive signals from head office, but there wasn't enough power to drive the siren. What also was interesting was there wasn't enough power to raise the doors to get the appliances out. Well, you know, we should be able to test that. We should be able to just turn off the mains and see what happens. And so there is some degree of testing and simulation that we should be able to do now and that we should and must do as we look at how we model our infrastructure towards being more resilient.
Sorry, Shan, I'm going to have to cut you off there because we've got a fire alarm going and I'm going to have to leave the studio, unfortunately.
How fortuitous, I was just talking about fire alarms.
Unfortunately, we were actually cut off there by a fire alarm in the studio at a particularly ironic moment. But that was National's Shane Retty on New Zealand's infrastructure resilience.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.